Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Tanner Lee. I am back after a short hiatus, after a little vacation, if you will. Good to be back. Good to be with y'all on this beautiful Friday night on September 19th, 2025, on the eve of AEW All Out 2025 taking place in Toronto at the Scotiabank Arena. And this is the first show I've been on since our Forbidden Door prediction show last month, and the first show that I can proudly proclaim that the KOP title is back home. The reigning defending KOP predictions champion is in the house tonight, and I am flying solo. Of course, thank you to my co-hosts Austin Shepherd and Paul Zartman for carrying the weight of the show, making sure the show rolled on the last couple weeks when I was not here. But, of course, the night I'm here and ready to rock with our AEW All Out predictions, they're nowhere to be found. But I will say they were kind enough to send in their picks. So they are still in it for the predictions challenge for All Out. They're just not joining me tonight. So you're stuck with me for the next however many minutes I want to ramble on and what should be a good show. Looks like a good card. So, looking forward to it. And I miss y'all. I missed y'all while I was gone, but good to be back. And Paul and Shep, or at least Shep, I know, should be good for our show on Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we recap and talk about our reactions from tomorrow's All Out pay-per-view, once again, taking place up in Toronto at 3 o'clock, a little earlier in the day than, AEW's been running some earlier pay-per-views, but earlier than it was originally supposed to be. But, you know, WWE's got WrestlePalooza taking place, honestly, just down the road from Paul, Shep, and myself in Indianapolis. But this tells you how badly I didn't want to go. For one, I'd rather watch All Out. Two, I'm a big college football fan and a fan of my alma mater, Purdue University, the Purdue Boilermakers. We play one of our bitter rivals, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, tomorrow. That's at 3:30. So that's another reason. And number three, another reason I'm not going down to Indianapolis for WrestlePalooza tomorrow, the ticket prices. Ticket prices are insane. They're just as bad, if not worse, than the Royal Rumble I went to back in January. So would have been cool to see John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, see Cody Rhodes, big Cody Rhodes fan, as you can see behind me, AJ Lee in their first match in 10 and a half years. But I'm an AEW fan more so than WWE, so I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view tomorrow, even though I will be watching the pay-per-view later because, as I mentioned, my Purdue Boilermakers take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at 3:30. But anyways, we're not here to talk about that tonight. We're here to talk about our AEW All Out predictions. So I'm going to jump right into it. We're going to go down the card and see who we all picked to become victorious and what kind of points we put on it. If I can get my mouse to work here with me, that would be great. As I got a graphic to pull up. But all right, here we go. Starting off with, the match that we know is starting off the pay-per-view now, thanks to Tony Khan on the media call tomorrow. And that's a tag team dream match of sorts with Adam Copeland and Christian Cage taking on Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler of FTR. Two of the greatest tag teams in the history, course, Cope and Christian just reunited recently for the first time in many, many years. And FTR has been doing terrific work ever since they joined AEW back in 2020. But let's see here. Let's see what some of the guys, see who they picked. And I apologize that my mouse is not working with me tonight. I'm trying to get everything situated here. But I'll start off with my picks. I know what I put on this. I am taking Cage and Cope, as Christian wanted to be known. That's what they should be referred to, not Cope and Cage. I am taking them for 6 confidence points. I don't see them losing in Toronto. If it was in another city, perhaps, but I just don't see them losing in their hometown. So I'm taking the hometown boys for 6, and I think they make a run eventually at the tag team titles. Both Paul and Shep are in agreement with me. Paul's taken Cage and Cope for 10 confident points, so he is fully confident in them. And Shep, I'm the low man in this match, as Shep is taking them for 8. So Paul's got Cage and Cope for 10. Shep's got Cage and Cope for 8. And I got them for 6. Should be a good match. The go-home math says the FTR will be going over, but not seeing it. Not seeing it. Not in this situation. Next up, let's talk about a returning Eddie Kingston. His first match in AEW in 16 months, taking on Big Bill. This match has been built on Collision, pretty much. We haven't seen Eddie Kingston, which I like that. Save his return for the pay-per-view itself. Eddie's pretty popular with the fans. I think that's the right call from Tony Khan. And got a comment here from Majin. Majin, good to see you, buddy. I've missed you the last few weeks. He says, hometown heroes, the CNC Wrestling Factory. Absolutely. Absolutely. Canadians and Americans alike can agree. Everybody's pumped for Cage and Cope and taking on FTR. But no way Eddie Kingston's losing this match. They're not, like I said, he's a fan favorite. They're not going to bring him back to lose to somebody like Big Bill. And good for Big Bill to be on this card and be in a match like this. Interesting matchup for Eddie, but I am so confident. I am taking the Mad King, Eddie Kingston himself, for 10 confidence points. Paul's got 6 on Eddie Kingston, and Shep has 5. So I am by far the most confident Eddie Kingston out of us. Majin says, you know, the world is cold. Better bundle up. I can't wait to hear that. Kingston is definitely winning. Yeah, there's no way he's losing. But should be a good match. I'm looking to see what kind of shape Eddie's in after 16 months off. And, you know, he was even thinking about retiring at one time. So glad he didn't. Glad he's back. And there's a lot of interesting storylines I think you can put Eddie in. Eventually, I think he's got to go after Mox, right? Mox and the Death Riders. But yeah, let's get to a few matches under his belt first. So, all right. Next up, which match are we going to go with next? How about the trios match between the Hurt Syndicate, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, and MVP? If I am not mistaken, this is one of the only matches MVP has actually wrestled in AEW. Taking on Ricochet in the Gates of Agony. I'm surprised they haven't come up with a better name, to be honest. They need a name if they're going to be a long-term team. This is an interesting one. I honestly thought this one could go either way. Hurt Syndicate is very over with the crowd, with the fans. But, you know, Ricochet's got the history here with the Syndicate. They're making fun of him originally. That's started his heel turn. I could see Ricochet and the Gates of Agony picking up a win via a little cheating, and I don't think it would hurt the Syndicate too much. But Shep, Paul, and myself are all in agreement. Again, that's not going to happen. The Syndicate's going to win. Shep's going pretty confident with 7 points on the Syndicate. Paul's got 4, and I am not near as confident as I am having mouse difficulties tonight. I only got 1 in the syndicate, because to be honest, I actually had Ricochet in the Gates of Agony until this morning, and I changed my mind. So I'm playing it safe here. Majin talking about Eddie Kingston. He was working with Cesar Bononi, I believe his name is. So I saw he was in good shape. Yeah, I saw that too. Majin said, you know, the Gates of Agony are growing on me. Sorry, Shep. Yeah, I think they're doing good work. That match between, I get their names confused. I need to do better and get their names under wrap. But Toa Leona, I believe is how you pronounce it. I don't know, close enough. He and Bobby's match on Wednesday and Dynamite, I thought was a lot of fun. A lot of fun spots there. That that apron spot that he slammed Bobby down. Oh, that had hurt. I don't care if you're as strong as Bobby Lashley is or not. That had hurt. So far, myself, Shep, and Paul in agreement, 3-for-3 as far as the victors of the matches. But don't worry. Don't worry. I don't think we're going to agree all across the board tonight. So let's see what match we want to do next. How about the TBS title? Mercedes Moné against the returning Riho, the first AEW Women's Champion in the history of the company. Good to see Riho back. And I like it. I like a different opponent for Mercedes. You all know how I feel about Mercedes. I'm a Mercedes fan. We know Paul's not. Paul's a hater. But even with Paul being a hater, he's starting to get a little wiser with his picks, at least when it comes to Mercedes matches here. And he picked Mercedes for 5. Shep has Mercedes for 6. I'm a little more confident in my girl Mercedes, and I got Mercedes for 9. I just don't think she drops the TBS title right now. It will happen eventually. I think she has to drop it before she wins the world title. Because that's going to happen, folks. Within the next calendar year, Mercedes is going to be your AEW Women's World Champion at some point. But she will have to drop that TBS title. But I don't see her dropping it before she surpasses Jade's reign as the longest TBS champion in company history. So Mercedes 9 belts rolls here, I think. It'll be a good match. But I just don't see there's any way she loses that. Majin Toa, I believe it is, has also gotten better at promos too. I've seen a clip of an indie promo. One of them cut was pretty good. He also says Riho can't win this. Riho is a draw though, but yeah, it's not going to be to Riho. Hopefully, yeah. Good to see her back though. Good to see Riho back. I know I've been critical on her in the past on this podcast, but absence makes the heart grow fonder, as they say. So that's the case with me and Riho there. So good to see her back. She can go in the ring. Next up, what match do we have next on the card here? Let's go with the tables and tax match between Mark Briscoe and MJF. This feud has been going on since, before All In. And we were all wondering when we were going to get this match. Finally getting it now. Don't think any of us thought there was going to be a stipulation such as tables and tacks on the match. But I'm all for it. I think it's going to be an absolutely wild match. Another tough one for me to predict. I honestly was thinking Mark Briscoe again until this morning. And something tells me, MJF's put people over. Don't get me wrong. And I could definitely see him putting somebody over that he respects, like he does Mark Briscoe. No kayfabe there. But I just think, I still think MJF is going to be the next world champion eventually. And he's got that contract. He can cash in sometime in the future. And I just don't think losing now would be good for your next world champion. So I'm going MJF for 3. But not too confident there. Shep is very confident in Maxwell Jacob Freeman, going with MJF for 9. And Shep's a big Mark Briscoe guy. So that's interesting. And Paul is actually going with Mark Briscoe, taking the upset for 3 points. That would be huge for Mark Briscoe's career. I honestly think if he loses this match, maybe I finally get my wish and he takes some time off TV. And maybe it's another situation like I mentioned with Riho earlier. Absence makes the heart grow fonder type situation with me and Mark Briscoe. Because I think the dude's entertaining. He can go. Don't get me wrong. But he's just gotten stale for me because we see him on TV so dang much. And I think just him taking a little break would would do him good and a lot of the fans. Majin, there's not much in wrestling that makes me uncomfortable, but that line by MJF, how he's got to put another Briscoe on the ground, damn. Yeah, I definitely think that line did exactly what it was supposed to do, and it was supposed to make you feel that way. Struck a nerve, but, I mean, let's be honest, like, throwing our wrestling minds aside, we know he had a lot of respect for Jay Briscoe and the Briscoes as a whole, but, yeah, that's why MJF is a great villain, a great heel. Yeah, that was a good one. Imagine a loss for Max won't hurt him though, especially in this feud. I mean, that's why I was going back and forth with my pick here. In the end, I just, even though I get your point, it wouldn't hurt him. I don't know if he truly is the next world champ. I feel like he's just not losing a match anytime soon. But I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, that could put Paul in the driver's seat here. Especially because if I'm wrong, Shep's wrong, and Shep's got 9 on this match. So we will see. Let's go with the unified title. We got triple threat, Konosuke Takeshita, Kazuchika Okada, the reigning champ, has been a champ for a while. Newly unified champ as of all in, but he's been a champ of, you know, the Continental for forever and international. I don't know how it all works, though. I just think it should be unified and forget the others. And then Mascara Dorado beat Beast Mortos on Wednesday night in the qualifier match for this, which actually surprised me. I thought Beast Mortos would win that match, but it was a really good match on Dynamite. I really enjoyed it. I'm loving the tease between Takeshita and Okada of the Callis family. I look for coming out of this for them to get into a one-on-one feud. We know Takeshita won the G1. He's got a main event Wrestle Kingdom at Shep's Precious Tokyo Dome in January. But now's not the time for him to win this. I'm taking Okada. But I am taking Okada for 5 points. Paul is taking Okada for 1 point. And Shep is taking Takeshita for 2. So Shep going with the upset pick. That shouldn't surprise any of us. Shep's been obsessed with Takeshita for most of 2025. And Takeshita's had a great year, don't get me wrong. But Shep called it that he'd win the G1 and go on to main event Wrestle Kingdom. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So anything to do with Takeshita in the Tokyo Dome, Shep's Precious Tokyo Dome, Shep's going to get on board with. So, yeah. Dorado. My bad, Majin. Always calling me out for my pronunciations, but that's all right. Somebody's got to hold me accountable. Also says, Beast Mortos hasn't won a match in ages, guys. He's the MVJ, most valuable jobber. Yeah. You think you'd get a little more stroke in the company by dating the TBS champ, but is what it is. And I see Majin says the protostar Kyle Fletcher is the next world champ. So Majin, are you saying you think Kyle's going to unseat Hangman tomorrow? Or are you saying you don't think he's going to get it done tomorrow, but eventually he's going to get it done in a rematch? I want to know your thoughts there. I got my thoughts, but we're going to save that for the main event, because obviously, that's going to be the main event of the show, with them announcing that Cage and Cope versus FTR is going to kick off the show, which I think is smart move. So, Monch is absolutely not laughing emoji. I was just playing them. Okay, you got me. Hey, I've seen some people picking the upset of Kyle Fletcher, which that would get people talking. That would get people talking about All Out. And you know, this card's strong. I think it's going to be a good show tomorrow, but AEW definitely got to do some things to get people talking about this show afterwards instead of the whole wrestling world talking about WrestlePalooza. So maybe that's a trigger they pull to have everybody talking afterwards. It would be a surprising one, but maybe that's what they'll do. I don't know. Let's talk about the tag team ladder match. You got the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. You got Brodito, the champs, Brody King, and Bandito. You got Jet Speed with Speedball Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight. And you got Hechicero and Josh Alexander of the Don Callis family. this match is going to be wild. This match is going to be crazy. This match is going to have a lot of high spots. I like flippity flops. I like ladder matches. I'm looking forward to this match quite a bit. Another tough one I thought to predict, just because anytime you get multiple teams in a match, it is going to be a little difficult to predict. We'll start with Paul's pick here. Paul is taking Brodito. He's picking the champs to successfully defend their titles. Two confident points. I'm in agreement with Paul. I am taking Brodito for two confident points as well. But Shep has a team walking out of All Out as new tag team champions, and that is the Young Bucks. I do think if there was any of the teams in this match to take it off of Brodito, it would be the Bucks. But I don't see it happening. Here's a bold prediction for you all. I wish Shep and Paul were joining me to get their reactions. You know, we've seen it tease a lot on BTE lately, them getting notes, them getting a knife in the mail this past Monday with a note about getting stabbed in the back. Well, who's been making knives lately on social media? Who have we not seen this year on AEW television? Who has been aligned with the Young Bucks? How about the scapegoat himself, Jack Perry? What if the Bucks are ascending up the ladder, about ready to win the tag team titles, and then Jack Perry appears in the ring, but instead of pushing an opponent over and helping the Bucks, he pushes the Bucks over, costing them the titles. Flashback to last year, AEW Dynasty 2024, when he helped the Bucks win the titles. This time it's reversed, though, and he cost them. Maybe it's not time for that yet, but I think we're going to see the scapegoat back on our TV soon. And also another follow-up question to that is, will we see him reunite with Killswitch, or like I think he's going to go back soon, Luchasaurus, since we saw him walk out on Kip Sabian. It looks like the patriarchy is probably no more. So a lot of interesting things they could do there, a lot of pieces. And if scapegoat does come back, is he still the scapegoat moniker, Jack Perry, or is he got to do a... If he and Luchasaurus or Killswitch, whatever we want to call him right now, if they get back together, is it going to be more Jungle Boy? Is it going to be a hybrid of Jack Perry and Jungle Boy? I personally think he needs to stick with Jack Perry. I liked when he dropped Jungle Boy because he's getting too old for that. Getting too old for that. He's not a boy anymore. He's a man. So I look for this. This match, actually, I think could be the show stealer of the night, in my opinion. Maj and CNC versus FTR absolutely kick it off. The crowd is hyped for this match. You get the crowd at full energy. Yep. Get it off hot. And shout out to the Canadian crowd Wednesday night on Dynamite. Awesome, awesome crowd. I think the crowd's going to be hot tomorrow. It's a darn near a sellout. I think they've sold a little over 12,000 tickets, which is going to be great. Biggest all out they've ever sold ticket-wise. And it's only the second All Out outside of Chicago, with the other one being when they had no choice and had to run Daly's place during the pandemic in 2020. So I like that Tony's switching things up, taking pay-per-views different places that historically have only been in one place. So, you know, got Double or Nothing out of Vegas this year, getting All out of Chicago. I think that's the right thing to do. It sounds like the Thanksgiving show is probably going to stay in Chicago, but that is what it is. Majin also saying, not yet. Brodito is over. They ain't going to pull it off them yet. And the Bucks winning it so soon would undo all the good will they've built with how they've used them so far. Yep. I agree. I was just saying, I think if anything, I mean, I guess you could make a case for Jet Speed winning it. I don't see Hechicero and Josh Alexander, even though I think they're both very good talents. I think Josh Alexander is one of the most underrated performers in all of pro wrestling, not just AEW. I thought that since he was in TNA, he was the champion over there. I don't see them coming out of this as champs. So, but I agree, Brodita's over. They're doing great work. Keep it on them for a little bit longer. Let's go to the women's world title match. Four women in this match. So, like I said, anytime you got multiple individuals, makes it a little more difficult to predict. But we got Timeless Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter versus Chris Statlander versus Tekla. A lot of interesting scenarios here, a lot of interesting characters and individuals. I liked what they did Wednesday night with all of them kind of coming out to say anything. And then Tekla, after being Queen Aminata, starting a brawl. Thought it was all good. But let's see who everybody picked. Shep is going with Timeless Toni Storm for 3 confident points. I'm also going with Timeless Toni Storm, but I'm going for 8 confident points on the champ. And Paul is going with Timeless Toni Storm as well for 8 confident points. So none of us think it's time to take the strap off of Toni. And I agree. She's doing great work. I know she's a 4-time world champ in AEW. I just don't see who takes it off of her, like, in this match. I just don't think any of those 3 ladies, it's not the right time for any of them. Honestly, you look across the roster, I don't know who takes it off of Timeless Toni Storm. They haven't really built anybody up to take it off of her. I mean, I would say Mercedes or Athena, but she's beat both of them. Beat both of them at the last 2 pay-per-views. So I still think, if I had to put money down, I think Mercedes is your next women's champ. But like I stated earlier in my prediction with her and Rio, I think you got to get the TBS title off of her first before you put the AEW Women's World title on her. So now you got to build somebody up for the TBS title, which actually I think there's more contenders for that right now than there are legit contenders for the AEW Women's World title. But yeah, I still part of me does think Toni loses it before the end of 2025, but besides Mercedes or Athena, I just don't see anybody else in the discussion right now. But they could surprise me and heat somebody up pretty quick. I guess we've seen it before. I mean, Megan Bang looked like she was going to be the perfect person to do it, but then they've kind of cooled her off and put her with Penelope in the tag division, maybe getting ready for those tag team titles that will eventually be introduced. But we'll see. Picking up on some comments here, Majin, I'm not an FTR fan by any means. We are aware of that. But I do feel sorry for Dax breaking his nose. You saw Christian clocked him with the mic. Oh, yeah. Busted him right in the snoz. Yeah, right in the snoz. Majin says, and new Chris Statlander. The only way I could see that is if Marina Shafir and the Death Riders got involved. And maybe she eventually ultimately joins them. But this is the first time she's challenged for the title in 4 years, which is pretty hard to believe. Majin is disagreeing. He said, it is time, though. She's doing great work, but at the same time, people are starting to not care about the title because she's held it for so long and beating all the talent, as you said. Yeah, I guess make a good case to me for, and I know you're picking Statlander, but or maybe you're just hopeful Statlander will take it off Toni, but make a good case for one of those ladies. Maybe I could get it convinced, but I'm going with Toni for 8. I just not seeing it right now, but should be a fun match. And that's one of the more compelling things in the company to me is the big question mark of who is going to ultimately unseat Toni for that title, because there's no clear-cut answer by any means. Let's now talk about a feud that's been crazy, a match that's going to be insane. You might want to put the kids to an early bedtime for this one. Don't know if they should be watching this one. You know, these 2 guys give it their all every time out. John Moxley versus Darby Allin in a coffin match. I mean, let's be honest. What's Darby's finishing move called? Coffin drop. I don't see there's any way Darby loses this match. But I only have 4 confident points on him just because I have more confidence in some other matches. Taking Darby for 4. Shep is also taking Darby for 4. But Paul is taking John Moxley for 7. 7. And one thing I forgot to do this whole time, Paul actually gave me some descriptions of why he's picking certain winners. And for John Moxley, he said Darby's 50-50 in coffin matches. Okay, fair enough. But like I said, his move is the coffin drop. It seems like this is the match made for him, especially matching AEW. So I'm taking Darby. Going back in some of the reasonings for Paul's picks, for Kobe and Christian for 10, he said, no way these 2 losing their hometown. Hersinga for 4. MVP hasn't been much of a wrestler here lately, but I think these 3 could go after the trios. Mercedes for 5. I don't think Rio is the one to take the belt off Monet, but there's not many people left to do the job. Mark Briscoe for 3. MJF has been known to screw me over, so I had to go low. That's fair enough. It's very true. Timeless Toni Storm for 8. I still think Monet is the one to take the title off Storm, as much as I like it to be Stat. Scary that Paul and I are starting to think alike on some of these reasonings. Okada for one, he says, I feel this is the match that could go any way. Eddie Kingston for six, he said, no way he doesn't lose his return match, but it is Eddie, and he's been known to help others, help out others and put them over. Brodito for two, could be a swerve with the Bucks winning here, he says. So that gets us caught up to Paul's reasoning on his picks. Majin here, which is what I think will happen. Fatal four-way means there's no DQ. Death Riders might get involved. It's the only way Tony can lose and still not lose any momentum, really. Yeah, that's true. With any time you have a triple threat or a fatal four-way or four-man or women, I don't even know if they call it a fatal four-way anymore. Yeah, somebody else can eat the pin, and you can lose your title and not really lose momentum. That's true. That's a good point. I'm sorry, Brian, but I don't believe you're done. Brian is getting involved in helping Turtles win this. Yeah, and I'm real interested. I'm dying to know what he whispered into Darby's ear. If he's going to keep his promise, not getting involved, Darby's got to keep whatever promise that Brian asked him via whispering in his ear. So, yeah, but I like the nickname Turtles.
I like Turtles.
Yep. I think, and this is Darby's first, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is Darby's first match he's had since he's been back from Everest. I could be wrong about that, but I just feel like every week he's getting into it with the Death Riders, but maybe, or first one-on-one match, maybe. I don't know. Now that I'm putting that out there, I don't feel very confident that I'm correct there, but that's how my memory remembers it. So one more match to pick, and that is the, I'm assuming this is the main event for the AEW World Championship, Hangman Adam Page versus the Protostar Kyle Fletcher. There are stipulations on this match, however, if the Don Callis family interferes, not only does Fletcher lose the match via disqualification, but he's also stripped of his TNT title. I mean, they could go with a ref bump spot, all that. But I feel like they're not going to. I think this is going to be a hell of a match. I'm big on Kyle Fletcher. As anybody that's listened to the podcast or watched the podcast for a while now knows, I think the kid gets better and better. Yes, I'm calling him a kid because I'm 7 years older than him, so I feel like I can. He gets better and better every week, not only in ring, but on the mic. He is a future world champion. I'll throw it out there. I think he holds the world championship sometime in 2026. But just like what Hangman's been saying lately, you're not ready. It's not your time. I think he's good with the TNT title for now for a while and then elevate him up to get that world title eventually. So with that said, I'm going Hangman Adam Page for seven. Shep going all in at all out with Hangman Adam Page for 10. And Paul is going with Hangman Adam Page for 9. So with 7 points, I'm the low man on Hangman, but Hangman's not losing this title yet. That's just all it comes down to. I think he loses it to MJF before the end of 2025. That's my prediction. So I guess I just showed my cards there. If MJF's to challenge Hangman at Wrestle Dream or at Full Gear or at World's End, I guess I'm on the hook now for taking MJF. So yeah, but one quick recap of everybody's points. I am taking Cajun Cope for 6, the Hurt Syndicate for 1, Mercedes Moné for 9, MJF for 3, Eddie Kingston for 10, Brodito for 2, Tony Storm for 8, Kazuchika Okada for 5, Darby Allin for 4, and Hangman Adam Page for 7. Paul is taking Cajun Cope for 10, the Hurt Syndicate for 4, Mercedes Moné for 5, Mark Briscoe for 3, Eddie Kingston for 6, Brodito for 2, Tony Storm for 8, Kazuchika Okada for 1, Jon Moxley for 7, and Hangman Adam Page for 9. And Shep's taking Cajun Cope for 8, the Hurt Syndicate for 7, Mercedes Moné for 6, MJF for 9, Eddie Kingston for 5, the Young Bucks for 1, Tony Storm for 3, Kinoshita Takeshita for 2, Darby Allin for 4, and Hangman Adam Page for 10. Maj saying this match will be an amazing one. Could be a match of the night. It's between that and either of the tag matches. Yeah, this is going to be good. You know, for kind of a short build, I feel like, between Fletcher and Hangman, they've done a good job with it. I was relieved to see Fightful walk back the report that they initially reported of Wardlow originally supposed to be in the guy in this place that Fletcher, and then they found out that was inaccurate, and it was supposed to be Fletcher all along, but Wardlow was supposed to have a, you know, big storyline and big match at that pay-per-view. I was glad to see that, because that made me even feel more heartbroken for Wardlow than I already am, because the dude just can't stay healthy, and I was looking forward to seeing him in the Callis family, to be honest. I know that got shit on by a lot of people, but I was really looking forward to it, because the Callis family is stacked across the board. And I thought it was an interesting scenario to put him in, and you know, him attacking Nana and Swerve. I'm like, they're setting up for that match in the future. That'll be fun. Just felt gutted for the guy, but at least he wasn't supposed to challenge for the world title as of now, and that was always supposed to be Fletcher. So that makes me feel a little bit better about it, but still hope Wardlow makes a speedy recovery. And because I'm a big fan of Wardlow, like everybody that's listened to this pod for a while knows, and just feel gutted for the dude. He just can't stay healthy. He's just got bad luck. And I don't think we have to worry about him going to the WWE anytime soon, if that was his motivation and goal. I don't know if it is or was, or what the possibility of that is, but if that was a possibility, that dude's got to have a lot of injury time added to his contract. So I don't think we have to worry about that anytime soon. But let me know in the comments your thoughts on All Out. Let me know your predictions. This is always my favorite pod we do every month. So I'm glad you took time out of your Friday night to join me for a little bit. And I want to make sure, you know, when I found out earlier today that Paul and Shep both couldn't make it, I wanted to make sure I still made an appearance, because not only did I want to show off, you know, the KOP predictions title that's finally back home where it belongs for the first time since in about a year. I think I lost that Full Gear last year and hadn't regained it in all of 2025. It's finally back home where it's going to stay for a long, long time. And not only did I want to get on there, I missed you guys the last few weeks, and the Paul and Shep did a great job filling in for me, but missed you guys. Wanted to just chat it up a little bit, talk some wrestling tonight, and go over this awesome card for tomorrow. And then I'll be back Sunday night to give my reactions. I believe at least Shep's going to be joining me. Hopefully Paul too. So tune in for that at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here live on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page. Make sure you hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button. Hit that notifications bell on YouTube so you know when we are going live, when we drop new content. Not only do we record podcasts, we have media calls. I uploaded the media call from Tony Khan's call with the media yesterday. For All Out, we do those. I'm hoping to come up with some other videos that aren't necessarily live, some other content here in the future, maybe getting back to do some quizzes. I want to get my wife back on a video and pick her wrestling brain a little bit about some stuff. So got some things planned. I just got to execute it and get it done, take the time to get it done. But appreciate everybody hanging out with me tonight. Like I said, hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. So make sure you're following us on your favorite audio podcast platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeart, whatever it may be. We should be on there. And also you can follow us individually on social media if you like. I'm Tanner Lee 92 on Twitter and X. Paul is at Paul Zartman 87, and Shep is at the Shep 27. So thanks again for chilling with me. We'll see you Sunday night as we kick out yet another podcast. Enjoy All Out tomorrow, and have a great week, everybody. Great weekend, I should say, everybody. And have a great next week, too. I'll say it early. Take care.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night. Bam!